Vectus Radio podcasts are sponsored by Break the Cycle CIC, rebuilding self-esteem in people who have experienced domestic abuse. For more, email hello@breakthecycle.org.uk.
Got Theodora in the studio.
Hiya.
And we've also got, royalty, haven't we? We've got TEDx royalty. Kim Davis is in.
Hi.
How are you?
Good, how are you?
Oh, I'm fine, thank you. I'm in a dry studio.
I know. It's so crazy and misty outside, isn't it?
It is, yeah. And it's going to get worse. Unfortunately, we can't do much about that. Hey, look, you're here for the TEDx event, which is, people have been talking about this for months and months and months. It's probably the biggest thing to happen to the Isle of Wight for a long time.
Yes.
Just explain for those people, because my mum's 89 and she thinks TEDx is a movie.
That's right. It kind of is like a movie, isn't it? It's like a mini movie. TEDx and TED in general is all about 15 to 18 minute little short talks on various subjects, which vary from whatever you're interested in, whether you're interested in dinosaurs or music and the arts or science. There's something for everybody in a TED talk, and professionals in their field speaking about each individual topic and here to entertain you and give you a bit of knowledge while entertaining you at the same time.
Brilliant. Love it.
So yeah. The slogan is, if not now, when?
Yes.
So how, just explain that.
We're here to light a fire under people's bums. Get you out doing stuff.
I wasn't expecting that.
I'm very expect the unexpected.
So inspire people. And in your field is to inspire musicians, singers,
yeah,
songs?
For a second there, I thought you were demanding that from me. To inspire people right now.
It's a bit like going up to a comedian and say, tell me a
joke. Tell me a joke. Yeah, exactly. Yeah, it's, TED Talks in general usually are very inspirational, but this particular event is surrounded around this theme of, if not now, when? And it's meant to get you thinking about your life and how little time you have to get out there and do the things that you have to go do. So if you've got a goal, if you've got ambitions, now's the time to go out there and do it. And it doesn't matter. One of the things I talk about in other talks that I do all the time is, it doesn't matter how old or young you are. It doesn't matter how much money you have or don't have. It doesn't matter where you originally came from. Like, if you have a dream, get out there and do it. So these talks, the series of talks, will hopefully inspire everybody, no matter what their interest is, to go out there and pursue their dreams.
There's a t-shirt there.
Yes! Make my t-shirts, Ian!
If you've got a dream, get out there and do it.
Let's do it. Yeah, well, now you're
going to make them t-shirts.
Yeah, we got a business going here. I love it.
Definitely. Theodora's got some questions for you in a minute, but just tell us a little bit about you. I mean, you're going to be this lady that's going to hit that stage tomorrow, and you're going to be inspiring people, and first thing people are going to say, okay, go on. What's your pedigree? What you've been doing? What you've been up to? Why should we trust you?
Oh, well,
come on. I know you've got a story.
I do. Well, I got lots of stories for you. How much time do you have? So my background, one of the stories I tell during my talk is that my career started when I was about 14, 15 years old. And I walked into the journalism room at my local high school and saw that we had done this interview with Julia Roberts. And I had said to the teacher, her name was Tina Lane, I said, Miss Lane, how did we, this tiny little high school newspaper, manage to get this interview with such a mega superstar? And she gave me a bit of advice, which I'm not going to tell right now. You have to watch the TED Talk.
Right.
But she gave a bit of advice about how to go out there and make some phone calls and know the right thing to say to people. And next thing I know, I'm interviewing Andre Agassi. Yeah, and I was 14 years old and trying desperately not to ask him for a lock of his hair, because there was a time, I know most of your listeners don't know, but he used to have hair. And
that's what happened to him.
Yeah, and as a teenager, all my hormones go, don't ask him for a lock of his hair. And then, of course, I did. And then, of course, he ran for the hills. But that's another story for another day. And and that was kind of the start of while all the other high school students were going out there and partying and doing all the regular high school things, I was lucky enough to be meeting my music and theater and dance and sport icons and do interviews with them. And it was a lot of fun. It was like I became addicted to it. And that started my career in TV and radio and media and marketing. And from there, I've gone on and I've been able to work with a lot of celebrities and big corporate leaders. And it's been a fun ride so far. So hopefully I can share some of that knowledge and stories and experience with the audience tomorrow.
Do you still get dazzled by people, or is it like old hat now? It's like, oh yeah, I've spoken to Andre Agassi.
Yeah. Well, there's definitely something of working in the music industry where you start realizing really quick that celebrities are just people like anybody else. So it depends who you're talking about, of course. You know, if Madonna walks in the room, I might feel a little bit intimidated that it's Madonna. But for the most part, you just try to say, They're all people. If Simon Le Bon, I got to tell you, if Simon Le Bon walked in, I might fall off my chair. But I might turn back into my 13, 14-year-old self for that one. But in general, no. Normally, you just say, hi, how are you? And you just you balance them the same way you would anybody else. Are they a good person? Are they a bad person? Do you like them? Do you not like them? Wow. Most of them are really lovely. All right, to be fair.
Who is the best celebrity you've worked with?
Oh, that's a tough one. I have met Beyonce.
Love that.
She is lovely. She is really gracious and lovely, as much as you would want her to be. So,
can I ask a silly question?
Yeah, go ahead.
Does she smell nice?
I didn't get that close.
Do you know what I mean?
I sniffed Andre, but not Beyonce.
Right, okay. Not after a tennis match. I told you it was a stupid question.
No, it's fine.
I just picture Beyonce to smell lovely.
I get that, actually.
Yeah.
Yeah. I would imagine I don't remember, if I'm being honest. I didn't take note of Beyonce's smell specifically. But she's got a lovely smile. She's very petite. You know, she's got such a big presence. You meet her in person. She's tiny. She's so tiny.
Right.
Is she?
Tiny, yeah.
I didn't get that.
You'd think she's such a big presence. You think there's so many celebrities, you meet them and they're 5 foot nothing.
Wow. So you're going to go on stage. You're going to give a talk and you're going to inspire lots of people. Mm. What do you hope people will do?
I would hope, for my particular talk, so my talk is called How the Arts Can Help You Achieve Anything. And it's all about showing you how to use the arts to not just going and appreciating them, but how to use them specifically to leverage knowledge and pursue your particular goals and dreams. So when I'm done doing my particular talk, what I would hope people would do is go out and start incorporating the advice that I give them during my talk to go and pursue their particular goals, no matter how young, old, rich, poor, as I said before. You know, I want everybody to feel like they can do it, because shockingly, only 8% of people feel that in life they ever pursue their goals. And I want to shift that number. My goal in life is to help use the arts to help inspire people to make a difference. So,
do you know, it's a lovely thing. We do things similarly here. We've got a radio training school with young people aged between 11 and 18. Some have problems, learning difficulties, and so on. But, you know, we using the main ingredients of radio, we inspire them to become radio presenters and more confident, have good communication skills. And it works.
Yes.
And I like what I'm hearing, because you've done it and now you're putting something back in.
Yes, exactly. The arts are the one thing, and when I say the arts, by the way, I'm talking about music, theater, dance, writing, painting, all of that sort of stuff. It's the one thing that we all have in common, whether you're a foreign dictator or a caveman, right? Like, it doesn't, and everything in between. It doesn't matter who you are, where you're from, what, anything. We all have that in common. Even little babies, right? They come out of the womb and they put on a little music and they feel moved by it, right? So it's something deep within us. The arts is something deep within us. We all have it in common. And so you can harness the power of that.
Yeah,
then you're really onto something, for sure.
Come on, you must have another question.
What inspired you to, like, go into the arts, fully dreams, all that?
Do you know, I think I came out of the womb dancing. Yeah. I don't know where it came from. It was just, literally,
your,
if you ask
mom.
My mother. Yeah, exactly. If you ask my mother, she'll be like, oh my God, she was a handful from a very, very, very young age. There's all the pictures of me 2-3 years old on the stage at, like, you know, doing all sorts of stuff. So I think it's just always been in me. And luckily I had a family that nurtured that and let me explore all of that. I was very lucky where I grew up that my high school had lots of resources and it let us do all sorts of stuff. Yeah. So I always had that range of being able to dip my toe into anything I wanted to do. And if I didn't like it, I came back. I did something new, whatever. If I did love it, I kept doing it forever.
You know, that's wonderful. Like,
yeah.
And like, what advice would you give to like people my age, like 16-year-olds, like people in school?
Yeah. Well, if you love something, if you really, really love something, and if you want to make it your career, you think you might want to make it your career, practice hard, be dedicated, and don't take no for an answer.
Love it.
Yeah. That's it. Yeah. Don't take no for an answer.
Don't take no for an answer. It's one of the things I talk about in my talk is the performer's mindset and being able to overcome those limiting beliefs, right? All those negative voices in your head. You got to get rid of those and say, no, I can do this. I will do this.
Yeah. So do you ever get asked back to, you know, when people are going for a rough time and you need to sort of get into their psyche and say, come on, you can do this. Do you do that a lot?
Yeah. And, you know, the thing is, which has been really interesting. So I'm originally from New York, and the way you would do that in New York is very different from the way you would do that in Britain. So
come on, how would you do it then?
So sometimes you have to always assess the person because, you know, different people need different types of motivation. So it might be something as gentle and kind as, you know, come on, you can do this or whatever. And I could, if necessary, and if somebody responds well to it, then I could switch into New Yorker mode and be like, get your butt off your head. Get out there and do
it.
Let's go.
That's what it should be.
It depends on the person, of course. So.
It does. Because my wife, she'll say that, you know, she needs to lose a few pounds. And I said, well, why don't you then? You know, and hopefully that's not being horrible. That's me trying to inspire because that's how I would do it.
Yeah.
So I fit in where you are, where you're from. But here we kind of, how are you going to do this and so on? Yeah, but everybody's different.
Yeah, and that works with some people. And if
it doesn't work with my wife,
I was going to say, how does that work with your wife? You get a smack for that one. You get the cold shoulder. Yeah, you got to be careful.
So when you go on stage in a variety of different countries, here you are on the Isle of Wight, you must have done a bit of research so you can make that connection.
Yeah.
But that must be so difficult going from, because you must have been all over.
Yeah.
If you'll pardon the expression, you've been around.
I've been around. please don't use that as a clip, right? Your promotional clip. I've been around. Of course. So, like I said, different. One of the things that I really enjoy about being on the stage and being able to do talks in general is different audiences everywhere. I have had audiences that are very conservative and very quiet and very polite and give you a golf clap and, you know, you really got to get it out of them. Yeah. And then I've had audiences that are like going to church and you get in a, can I get an amen? Amen. Can I get an hallelujah? Hallelujah. I literally have done that with people and it's been a good time. So you have to just feel out your audience. You know, I think great speakers are able to feel out their audiences, see what kind they've got, and then be able to improvise a bit and play with that and make the most of each and every audience. So my talks are never, no two talks are ever the same. They're always different depending on what kind of audience you have.
Wow. I wish I was there tomorrow watching.
Well, come on down.
The enthusiasm, the passion that's coming out.
You can live stream it, can't you?
We could.
Oh, yeah, we'll live stream it.
Yes, live stream it.
All I can say is look out, Isle of Wight.
That's right. Exactly.
That clap, that thing that that's, I think, you know, that's, I mean, Matt, perhaps I'm being unkind to Isle of Wight folk because that's the way that we come across sometimes.
Yeah.
So hopefully, fingers crossed, you can give them all a lift tomorrow.
Yeah, absolutely. No, listen, everybody here that I've ever met has been really sweet and really kind. I am very optimistic that the audience tomorrow is going to be a hoot.
Good.
Yeah. I've always, British audiences for me are always a hoot. They always start off a little bit like, oh my God, she's American. She's going to make us do really embarrassing things. And then I win them over. And then by the end, I get them to do all those embarrassing things and they love it. So
sounds wonderful. I need to go there.
Yeah, come on.
Well, you might better get a ticket.
Yeah, I'll just get one.
There's a lot of talented musicians, singers, songwriters on the Isle of Wight. So I'm hoping, Beth Brookfield is going to be giving a talk tomorrow as well, isn't she?
Yeah.
So hopefully, there's a lot of people there that you can inspire, and I'm sure you will.
Thank you. Yes.
It's been a pleasure to talk to you. I wish we had longer.
I know, me too. Thank you so much for having me. I really appreciate it.
You're welcome. And you've now got to go back in the rain.
Yes, exactly. I'm melting.
Kim Davis, thank you very much for joining us. Hope it goes brilliantly well tomorrow, and I hope off the back of that, so many people get inspired by yourself.
Thank you.
It's Vectis Radio. It's 19 minutes away from 11. Let's take a quick commercial break, and we're coming out the other side with The Cars.